Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the treatment of anxiety through the belief in Allah's decree. And inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the third aspect of the belief in Allah's decree, which is the will. The will means the belief that Allah's will is unlimited and it controls the universe and our life, a fact which is a source of hope for every Muslim. As Allah's will is unlimited, that is to say, it can make everything and anything. There is nothing impossible with Allah's will, the unlimited will. We already learned over the last 2 weeks two Quranic rules related to Allah's will. The first one is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً كَلَمْحٍ بِالْبَصَرِ. Our command is but one, as the twinkling of an eye. And the second rule is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون. When Allah intends a thing, he says be and it is. Actually, these two rules are clarifying the greatness of Allah's will, which is the only power in this life. Last week we learned about Allah's will, and we learned in details about the Quranic rule. When Allah intends a thing, he says be and it is. Inshallah, this week we will learn about this fact as it is related to illness. That is to say, when Allah intends that a person or a sick person will become cured, Allah just says be and it is. Actually, this is a fact which is giving a hope for every patient, that there is a hope for you to be cured, inshallah, in a time which is less than the twinkling of an eye. And this is related to Allah's power. That is to say, when Allah intends for you the cure, he says be and it is. Actually, every patient must know about this fact and must have the full hope in Allah's will, that Allah can make for him a way for the cure, inshallah, out of the illness, inshallah. Actually, now we will learn about the beliefs related to causes of illness and their cure. Before seeking cures for any disease, a Muslim should first believe that all diseases as well as their cures are in Allah's hands and power and will. Allah alone decrees trials for his creation, and he alone can decree their cure. Allah, all means of getting sick and healed are therefore related to Allah's will. As part of the Muslim belief, this principle is important, because people sometimes fail to understand how afflictions come down upon a person, and accordingly they seek their cures without believing that it is only Allah's will that is the source for their cure. So Allah is the only one who heals whomsoever he wills. We must believe in this fact, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah number 6, verse number 17, as Allah is saying, وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Surah number 6, verse number 17. And if Allah touches you with harm, none can remove it but He. And if He touches you with good, then He is able to do all things. This means that Allah is the one who heals whomsoever He wills, and He decrees sickness and death for whomsoever He wills. This doesn't mean that we are not supposed to use medications, to go to the doctors, to have surgery. This doesn't mean that we are not supposed to use the treatment, the medical treatment. No, the reality is that we must try all the reasons. We must go to the doctor and we must do the investigations, we must take the medications, and if we need surgery, we must have the surgery. But the most important is that we must believe that the cure is from Allah the Almighty and up to Allah's will, so that our heart will be all the time connected to Allah, calling on Him to cause the cure, because we believe that the cure is from Allah. We will try all the means as Muslims, and I will mention some of the means inshallah in this class regarding the cure for diseases. But the most important fact for the cure is to have your heart connected and fully believing that it is the will of Allah that is behind the cure inshallah. Then inshallah from Tafsir Kathir we will learn about Prophet Ayyub. Actually, Prophet Ayyub was sick for around 18 years, but he never complained. He was all the time accepting his illness, and Allah the Almighty, out of His mercy, caused that Prophet Ayyub to be cured by the word be and it is. Now we will learn from Tafsir Ibn Kathir about Prophet Ayyub and his story. Actually, a group of angels were discussing Allah's creatures, and one of them said, the best creature on earth today is Job, Ayyub, a man of noble character who displays excellent patience and remembers his generous Lord. He is excellent model for the worshippers of Allah. In return, his Lord has blessed him with a long life and plenty of riches, yet he is never selfish. His family, his servants, as well as the needy and the poor, they share in his good fortune. He feeds and clothes the poor and buys slaves to set them free. He makes those who receive his charity feel as if they are favoring him. So kind and gentle is he. Iblis, overhearing all of this, became annoyed. He planned to tempt Job to corruption and disbelief. So he hastened to him. Iblis tried to distract Ayyub from his prayers by whispering to him about the good things in life. But Ayyub was a true believer and he wouldn't let evil thoughts tempt him. This disturbed Iblis more. Thus he began to hate Ayyub more and more. Iblis complained to Allah about Ayyub. He said that although he was continuously glorifying Allah, he was not doing so out of his sincerity, but to testify Allah so that his wealth should not be taken away. It was all a show, all out of greed. If you remove his wealth, then you will find that his tongue will no longer mention your name and his praying will stop. Allah told Iblis that Ayyub was one of his most sincere believers. He didn't worship Allah because of his favors. His worship was from his heart. He had nothing to do with material things. But to prove Iblis the depth of Ayyub's sincerity and patience, Allah allowed him to do whatever he and his helpers wished with Ayyub's wealth. This was test number one. Iblis was very happy. He gathered his helpers and set about destroying Ayyub's cattle, servants, and farms until he was left with nothing. Iblis appeared before Ayyub in the form of a wise old man and said to him, all your wealth is lost. Some people say that it's because you gave too much charity and that you are wasting your time with your continuous prayers to Allah. True to his belief, Ayyub replied, and this was his first reply, what Allah has taken away from me belongs to Allah. I was only its trustee for a while. He gives to me what he wills, and he withholds from me what he wills. And with these words, Ayyub again prostrated to Allah the Almighty. When Iblis saw this, he felt frustrated. So he again addressed Allah, You have stripped Ayyub of all his possessors, but he still remains grateful to you. However, he is only hiding his disappointment, for he places great store by his many children. The real test of a parent is through his children. You will then see how Ayyub will reject you. Allah granted Iblis authority, but he warned him that it would not reduce Ayyub's faith in his Lord nor his patience. Iblis again gathered his helpers and set about his evil deeds. He shook the foundation of the house in which Ayyub's children were living, and he sent the crashing. And so he killed all of them. Then he went as a man who has to come to sympathize with Ayyub. And he said to Ayyub, the circumstances are under which your children died were sad. Surely your Lord is not rewarding you for all your prayers. Having said this, Iblis waited, and he was hoping that Ayyub will reject his relation with Allah. But again, Ayyub disappointed Iblis by replying, Allah sometimes gives and Allah sometimes takes. He is sometimes pleased and sometimes displeased with our deeds. Whether a thing is beneficial or harmful to me, I will remain firm in my belief and remain thankful to my Creator. Then Ayyub prostrated to his Lord. This is the second prostration. Iblis was so sad, and he again called on Allah. O my Lord, Ayyub's wealth is gone. His children are dead, but he is still healthy in body. And as long as he enjoys good health, he will continue to worship you in the hope of regaining his wealth and producing more children. Grant me authority over his body so that I may weaken it. It will surely neglect worshipping you. He will surely neglect worshipping you and becomes disobedient. Allah wants to teach Iblis a lesson that Ayyub was a devoted servant of his Lord. So he granted Iblis his third request, but placed a condition. If I give you authority over his body, I give you authority over his body, but not over his spirit, intellect or heart. For in these places resides the knowledge of me, Allah, and my religion. So, Iblis, armed with this new authority, he began to take revenge on Ayyub's body and filled it with disease until it was reduced to skin and bone, and he suffered severe pain. But through all the suffering, Ayyub remained strong in his faith, patient, tolerating all the hardship without complaining. Allah's righteous servant didn't despair to turn to others for help, but he remained having all the hope in Allah's will to save him from this severe hardship. Even close relatives and friends, they deserted from him. Only his kind, loving wife stayed with him in his hour of need. She showed her kindness on him and cared for him. She remained his sole companion and comforter through many years in his suffering. Ibn Kathir said, Ayyub was a man having wealth of all kinds, slaves, sheep, lands, and many children. All those favors were taken from him, and he was physically afflicted as well. Never a single oar was found except his heart and tongue, with both of which he glorified Allah the Almighty all the time, day and night. His disease lasted for a long time, for around 17 years, until all his visitors felt discussed with him. His friends kept away from him, and people stopped visiting him. No one felt sympathy for him except his wife. She took care of him, knowing his former charity and piety for her. Therefore, Iblis became desperate. He went to Ayub in the form of a man, saying, "Where is your husband?" She pointed to an almost lifeless man on the bed and said, "There is he, suspended between life and death." Iblis reminded her of the days when Ayub had good health, wealth and children. Suddenly, the painful money of the years of hardship, the painful memory of the years of hardship overcame her, and she started to cry. She said to Ayub, "How long are you going to tolerate this hardship? Are we to remain without healthy children or friends forever? Why don't you call upon Allah to remove this suffering?" Ayub, in a soft voice, replied, "Iblis must have whispered to you and made you dissatisfied. Tell me, how long did I enjoy good health and riches?" She replied, "For 80 years. Then Ayub said, "How long am I suffering like this?" She said, "For 7 years. Then Ayub told her, "In that case, I am ashamed to call on my Lord to remove the hardship, for I haven't suffered longer than the years of good health and plenty. It seems your faith has weakened and you are dissatisfied with the fate of Allah. If I ever regain health, I swear I will punish you with 10 strokes. From this day onward, I forbid myself to eat or drink anything from your hand." Crying with a heavy heart, she had no choice except to leave him and seek shelter elsewhere. In his helpless state, Ayub turned to Allah, not to complain, but to seek His mercy. It was the call to Allah in Surah number 21, verse number 83. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. And remember Ayub when he cried to his Lord, "Verily distress has seized me and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy." Actually, this is a supplication to Allah. Actually, Prophet Ayub didn't appeal for his condition to be changed because he wanted to remain patient in adversity. Nor does he suggested anything to his Lord, but he had the attitude of perfect acceptance before Allah. Ayub was the best model for patience, who neither complained nor was frustrated regarding his hardship. Instead, he left the matter entirely to Allah. At the moment when Ayub addressed his Lord with such confidence and patience, his prayer was answered and Allah's will actually was bestowed on him in the form of Allah's mercy. His personal affliction was removed and his health was restored. This indicates complete recovery, leaving no trace of illness. The affliction was out. We will recite now the answer of his supplication from the same surah, surah number 21, verse number 84. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Fastajabna lahu fakashafna ma bihi min dur. Wa atainahu ahlahu wa mithlahum ma'hum rahmatan min indina wa dhikra lil'abidin. So we answered his call and we removed his distress that was on him, and we restored his family to him and the like thereof along with them as a mercy from ourselves and a reminder for those who worship us. Actually, this is the story of Prophet Ayyub, the story of a man who was having actually very long illness for around 18 years, but he was never complaining. He was having the full trust in Allah's will that inshallah Allah will cure him. And actually, out of his belief in Allah, out of his patience, out of his trust in Allah's will, Allah the Almighty, as soon as Prophet Ayyub called on him, Allah in a twinkling of an eye, as Allah said in the Holy Quran, he say, be and it is, and he was cured 100% after his call to Allah and after his answered supplication. This is actually a call of hope for every patient to have the full trust in Allah's will. Allah can do everything. Allah can change everything. Allah can remove the illness. Allah can give you the full cure. You must have this fact very clear in your spirit. This is a message for every patient, that you must have the full trust and the full hope in Allah's mercy, in Allah's will. Allah can do everything. There is nothing impossible with Allah. But the most important is to remember Allah all the time, to worship Allah, to have Allah as your Lord, to obey His command, to ask His forgiveness, to be close to Him, and to have the full trust that Allah caused you to have this illness so that you remember your Lord and you become close to Him. And as soon as you remember your Lord with sincerity and you try to obey His commands and you keep on calling Him, at that moment, inshallah, Allah, out of His mercy, Allah will remove your illness and Allah will cause for you the cure, because Allah can do everything. We must all the time believe that Allah doesn't create us to cause troubles for us or to put us in hardships or to make our life a big tragedy. No, Allah is not in need of this. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the provider. Allah is the sustainer. Allah is actually the source of all the blessings in this life. But out of His mercy, Allah wants every believer to remember Allah, because when we remember Allah, we will follow the right path. We will live this life in the right way. We will be all the time following the right way in our life. So whenever we forget Allah, whenever we actually follow the whispers of Iblis, at that moment Allah, out of His mercy, will plan for us to return to Him. How? Through the hardships. So we must all the time evaluate the hardships as a source to return, or a way to return to Allah the Almighty. So we must all the time actually accept the hardships, because through the hardships we will again remember our Lord, we will again call on our Lord, we will again obey our Lord, we will again be close to our Lord. So at that moment there will be no need for the hardship, and Allah, out of His mercy, will put an end for the hardship. And every one of us must remember that fact, that after my hardship I become more close to Allah, and actually I am worshipping Allah in the with sincerity, and I am accepting all the decree of Allah. And it was the hardship, it was the illness that caused me to remember my Lord again, to remember how I need my Lord day and night, to remember that I have only my Lord in this life, and to remember that the only one who can cause the cure is only Allah, as Prophet Ibrahim said in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara. We will recite it now. Number 26, verse number 80. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idha maridtu fa huwa yashfin. And when I am ill, He who cures me. It is He who cures me. So we must all the time remember this fact. We must learn it. We must believe in it, that the cure is only from Allah, because Allah is the only one who knows how to cure the diseases, because Allah is the one who caused the diseases. So the one who caused the disease is the one who can remove the diseases. So all the time we must remember our Lord. We must remember our Lord, especially during the hardships, because the only one who can remove the hardships is Allah, because it is the will of Allah that is controlling everything in the worldly life. Actually, this is a fact which Allah is reminding it with it in many verses of the Holy Quran. And actually, sisters, we must all the time remember this fact and never to forget it, that the cure is only from Allah the Almighty. And all the time I must have Allah as the priority in my life, because in every hardship the only one who will make for me an outlet is Allah, out of His will, which is the only power in this life. So for every patient he must have the hope. There is hope for cure from the doctor, from the hospital, from the medicine. No, these are the reasons which Allah are sending for us to cause the cure. But who is the one who commands the medicine to work? Who commands the doctor to know the actually to write the correct medicine? Only Allah is the one who is behind the cure. The only reason, real reason behind the cure is Allah the Almighty. Let us all the time remember this fact, so that inshallah every one of us, whenever we are ill or sick, we will remember Allah, and Allah inshallah will make for us actually an outlet. There is only also a very important fact regarding the story of Prophet Ayyub. First, we will learn about his wife. His wife actually was patient with him and kind with him for years and years. But again, Iblis came to her and whispered to her. And actually, he tried to make her not to accept Allah's decree. So this is the problem. The relatives of the patient, sometimes because they take care of the patient for a long time, they became tired and actually they started to lose hope. And this is all from the shaitan whisper or Iblis whispers. So all the time we must remember this fact for the patient and for the relatives. No, never to listen to Iblis whispers, who will try all the time to make you to lose the hope in the cure, because Iblis is actually the main enemy to mankind. Now we will learn from the Holy Quran how Allah the Almighty saved the wife of Prophet Ayyub, as he was angry with her because she listened to the whispers of Iblis. But Allah, the All-Knower, He already knew that she was a kind and a caring wife, and Allah saved her. We will recite now, inshallah, from the Holy Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واذكر عبدنا أيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب اركض برجلك هذا مغتسل بارد وشراب ووهبنا له أهله ومثلهم معهم رحمة منا وذكرى لأولي الألباب وخذ بيدك ضغثا فاضرب به ولا تحنس إنا وجدناه صابرا نعم العبد إنه أواب. And remember our slave Ayyub when he invoked his Lord saying, verily Shaitan Iblis has touched me with distress and torment. Allah said to him, strike the ground with your foot. This is a spring of water to wash in cool and refreshing drink. And we gave him back his family and along with them the like thereof as a mercy from us and a reminder for those who understand. And take in your hand a bundle of thin grass and strike there with your wife and break not your oath. Truly we found him patient. How excellent a slave. Verily he was ever returning in repentance to us. Actually Allah the Almighty, as Prophet Ayyub, he promised that he will strike his wife 100 times. So Allah the Almighty to make him out, actually not to break out, to break his oath, Allah commanded him to take a bundle of thin grass and to strike his wife with it, so that he, this means that he fulfilled his oath. Accordingly, there are many lessons which we can learn from the story of Prophet Ayyub. The first lesson is learn that Ayyub was obedient to and having good manners in his life. In spite of these facts, he was exposed to a great hardship, which was the loss of everything, wealth, health, and the family. His hardship was not for days or months, but it was for years and years. So there is a question here. Why Ayyub was exposed to these trials in spite of being obedient to Allah? Are we created in this life to be exposed to hardships and trials all the time? So, actually, the answer is that this worldly life is that where everyone will be accountable for his deeds on the day of judgment. Accordingly, so long as this life is a test, so everyone must be ready that this life, every one of us will face hard trials. So we must be all the time close to Allah and be obedient to Him, so that inshallah, Allah who is controlling this worldly life with His will make for us an outlet from every hardship and trial. Inshallah, now we will learn from the Holy Quran about some verses of the Quran which are called the verses of the Quran which are related to cure. We will now recite these verses of the Quran and we must learn them so that we can use them inshallah at the time of illness. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first one of the healing verses in the Holy Quran is from Surah number 9, Surah At-Tawbah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, verse number 14. These verses of the Holy Quran, which are called the hearing verses in the Holy Quran, they all contain the word healing, the word healing. Saying in Surah number 9, verse number 14, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa yashfi sudura qawmin mu'minin, and heal the hearts of a believing people, and heal the hearts of the believing people. This is the first verse of healing in the Holy Quran, as it contains the word heal, yashfi, ashifa. The second is from Surah number 10, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Yunus, from Surah number 10, verse number 57, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhan nasu qad jaatkum maw'izatum min rabbikum, wa shifa'un lima fi sudur, wa hudan wa rahmatun lil mu'minin. O mankind, there has come to you a good advice from your Lord, and a healing for the disease of doubt and hypocrisy which is in your hearts, a guidance and a mercy for the believers. So in this verse of the Quran, Allah is clarifying that in the verses of the Quran, there is healing for all the diseases of the hearts. Surah number 10, verse number 57. We will now recite the third verse of the Quran, which contains the word healing, from Surah number 16, Surah An-Nahl, verse number 69. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ثم كلي من كل الثمرات فاسلكي سبل ربك ذللا يخرج من بطونها شراب مختلف ألوانه فيه شفاء للناس إن في ذلك لآية لقوم يتفكرون. Then eat of the fruits and follow the ways of your Lord made easy for you. There comes forth from their bellies a drink of varying color, wherein is healing for men. Wherein is healing for men? Verily, in this is indeed a sign for people who think this is actually the honey, which is a healing for the human being for the diseases. Allah is mentioning about it in Surah number 16, verse number 69, the honey which is healing, inshallah, for the diseases. We will recite now the fourth verse of the Quran, which is related to healing, which contains the word shifa, that is to say healing, from Surah number 17, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah al-Isra, verse number 82, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we send down of the Quran that which is a healing and mercy to those who believe. So again, Allah is mentioning the word shifa, which is healing, in this verse of the Quran, and it is related that the Holy Quran actually is the healing and the mercy for the hearts of the believers. Surah number 17, verse number 82. The fifth verse of the Quran, which is containing the word yashfi or shifa, which means healing in the Holy Quran, is from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah number 26, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Surah number 26, is Surah al-Shu'ara, verse number 80, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I am ill, it is He who cures me. And when I am ill, it is He who cures me or who gives me the healing. This is Allah the Almighty, who is the source of the healing and the cure for all the diseases and all the hearts. This is from Surah number 26, verse number 80. We will recite now the verse number 6 from the healing verses in the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Surah number 41, Surah number Fussilat, Surah Fussilat, Surah number 41, verse number 44, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لو جعلناه قرآنا أعجميا لقالوا لولا فصلت آياته أعجمي وعربي قل هو للذين آمنوا هدى وشفاء والذين لا يؤمنون في آذانهم وقر وهو عليهم عمى أولئك ينادون من مكان بعيد. And if we had sent this as a Quran in a foreign language other than Arabic, they would have said, why are not its verses explained in detail in our language? What a book not in Arabic and the messenger an Arab. Say, it is for those who believe a guide and a healing, and for those who disbelieve, there is deafness in their ears, and the Quran is blindness for them. They are those who are called from the place far away, so they neither listen nor understand. Again and again, it is the Holy Quran, which is the mercy and the cure and the healing for the hearts. And actually, we must all the time appreciate that great gift from Allah the Almighty. The best gift ever in this worldly life from Allah is the Holy Quran, because the verses of the Holy Quran are the words of Allah, and the verses actually of the Holy Quran are the rules for the life of the believer. These rules, which are based on the commands of Allah the Almighty, the Holy Quran is the source of the mercy, cure and healing for the hearts of the believer. So if you want to know you are a true believer in the oneness of Allah, you are an obedient servant to Allah, observe your relation with the verses of the Holy Quran. If you feel that when you are upset or you are sad or you are worried, when you have these feelings and you decide to recite some of the verses of the Quran, and you feel that the Quran is really the key cure and the healing for your worry, for your sadness, and for your upset at that moment. You must be thankful to Allah that you are one of the believers which the Holy Quran touches your heart and causes for you the cure and the healing. Again and again, sister, we must all believe that it is the will of Allah that is the only power in this worldly life. If we are looking for all our hopes to become a reality in our life, we must be close to Allah, we must be obedient to Allah, and we must have the full trust in the will of Allah that inshallah Allah is able to do all things. Allah is able to cure all the sick people. Allah is able to give the healing to all the hearts of the people whom they are actually suffering from illness and sickness. But the problem is in our hearts. The problem is in our belief in Allah, in our sincerity with Allah, and in our trust in Allah's will. Again and again, we must all repent to Allah the Almighty, and we must all the time remember His power and remember His will, and have the full confidence in the will of Allah, the full confidence in the will of Allah, that Allah can do everything, and Allah is able to do all the things, and inshallah Allah is able to cure all the sick people. But it is actually we the human beings, we the Muslims, whom we have to have a better relation with Allah, a better and a more clear and sincere belief in Allah and in His power and in His will. And at that moment, inshallah, Allah will make an outlet for every Muslim from his disaster or trial, and inshallah Allah will shower every sick and ill person with the cure and healing. Ameen inshallah. And let us make the dua. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good, save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all the fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, and from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. And